Would you pray with me as we begin our Torah study? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. I want you to be sure of one thing this morning. It is the will of God to bless you. I want you to leave here with confidence, knowing that God wants to bless you, and he wants to take the mystery of blessing away so that you can clearly understand how to position yourself to receive blessings from God. The blessings that will come to you in greater and greater measure come when you live a life of faith and faithfulness. Say these two words with me: faith, faithfulness. That's good. That's really the message from this week's Torah portion. It's one of the most substantial messages as well that Yeshua taught and that the apostles continue to teach. And by the way, I posted the Torah, the Haftorah, the Brit HaChadashah readings in their entirety on Beth Israel's Facebook page and on the Facebook page for Messianic Jewish Teaching. So if you're online right now, if you've got your digital equipment, you can go to Facebook and you can read the whole set of readings. And in addition to that, I put on Twitter all the scriptures that we're going to be using today, except for one, which I added during worship. And I am not so tweet skilled that I could figure out how to add that in to what I'd already done. So you're just going to have to listen to see if you can figure out the missing piece. Well, as you're moving forward, as Kadima is your byword, it's important that you move forward into blessing. Sometimes when people move forward, they move forward into disorientation. Things become new places, new times, new seasons. And we can get lost in the newness. We can even get confused by the newness. We can get confused by situations that are meant by God to be blessings because there can be unanticipated challenges. It's important that when you're in a new season, a new place, a new time, a new opportunity, that you really stay focused on the blessings of God so that you can receive continued blessings. If God was blessing you by bringing you into the new place, he wants to bless you in the new place. Do you agree with that? Yes. It's not enough to go into the places that God promises you. He wants you to enter into them and to be filled with joy and gladness because you're there, to see what the opportunity is. As you actively pursue chazon, prophetic vision, make sure you're choosing to join your faith and your faithfulness together. This past week, I was talking to some people about chazon. What does chazon mean? Prophetic vision. Now, the problem in English is vision sounds like something that you see with your eyes. And yet, in Hebrew, chazon can be more than that kind of vision. It can be revelation, insight, understanding, direction, words from the Lord that come as words. So things you hear. They can come even through dreams. They can come through just your understanding. They can come into your heart. You see, God will speak things to your heart, to your mind, to your understanding, to your spirit. He'll speak by his Holy Spirit. He'll speak by the scriptures. He has so many different ways. We could even say unlimited ways that God can speak. It's not that God speaks in the clouds, but sometimes when people are just looking up at the clouds, they have like some understanding from the Lord. Have you ever had that experience? Just daydreaming sometimes. And over there by the lake, that's our daydreaming section. Not necessarily the people sitting there right now are daydreaming, but there are times when you really need to be refreshed and you come so empty that you would do better to sit in the house of God and daydream a little bit. Look at the still waters, the sparkling beauty and the green grass out there, and just relax. And then in that relaxed state, if the Lord renews you and revives your strength, you'll know the difference. So don't stay at home if you need to daydream. Come here and daydream. Chazon motivates us because chazon is God's revelation of his will into our lives. We need to know what he wants for us, what he wants from us. You want to live in the city he wants you to live in. You want to have the job he wants for you. You want to marry someone who he wants you to be married to. You want to be in a congregation where he's joining you. The will of God is something that you can apprehend and understand. And when God shares anything with you, when he gives you chazon, revelation, insight, understanding, vision, it's important to be active in taking hold of it and being a steward of it. God shares with you specific things because he wants you to be a steward of what he shares. He does not want you to forget it. He wants to forget your sins. He does not want you to forget his word. He wants you to put things behind you, but regarding chazon, he wants it to be in front of you. He wants to give you revelation that you are responsible for, that you are accountable to him for, so that you can say one day, Lord, you said this to me and I did it. This is the charge that you gave me and I responded. Here's my fruit from my obedience to you. Faith and faithfulness are different sides of the same coin. They always work together. I want to show you that through the teachings of Yeshua and connect them with the teachings of the apostles, the prophets, and Moses. So turn to Luke chapter 11. We'll look at just a couple of verses here, starting in verse 27, Luke 11, 27. While Yeshua was speaking, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." She was so excited about what Yeshua was saying that she started giving thanks for Yeshua's mama. And Yeshua answers. Now here, your English may not quite get it. How many of you have the word but in your English? Well, it doesn't have to be translated that way because but sounds like no. But the actual text is saying, yes, however. And so I'll translate it more freely. He said, for sure. But even more is the blessing given to those who hear the word of God and observe it. How many of you know that Yeshua loved his mama? He surely did. And do you know what her name was? Miriam, there you go. It wasn't Mary, that's a good name, but it wasn't Mary. It was Miriam, the same as the sister of Moses. Miriam, good Jewish name. He loved her, and he honored her, but he knew what the source of real blessing was for her. Here was the key for her. Chazon came to her. The word of the Lord came to her and told her what was going to happen to her and how God was going to use her. She was responsive to that, and she was faithful to that. You see, Yeshua is saying, it's not just that she's my mama, she heard the word of the Lord, and she did it. And everyone who hears the word in the Lord, of the Lord and does it is going to be blessed. If you think she's blessed, yes. The blessing is not just that she's my mom. That's what Yeshua was saying. It's that she's obedient to God in heaven. That was the source of his mother's blessing. It was her faith and her faithfulness. She was not perfect. The only perfect, sinless human ever conceived or born was Yeshua. One and only one. Now, faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of the Lord. And faithfulness comes when we observe the word that God gives to us. So we receive faith when we hear the word of the Lord. We demonstrate faithfulness when we observe or act on the word of the Lord. Observe is an interesting word because in Jewish circles it's used a lot. To be an observant Jew means you put into practice the things you learn, you live an active Jewish lifestyle. To be non-observant means you were born as a Jew, but you don't really live as a Jew. And so observant is an important word in the Jewish vocabulary, not so much in the Christian vocabulary, though among some Christians there's a similar word which is practicing. To be a practicing Christian is something similar. Now, whenever I hear the word observant, I remember a time when Sandy and I were in Jerusalem, right? Just even saying that makes Sandy smile. Observant. We were in Jerusalem. We were staying at an apartment in the German colony, right there in the heart of the city. And it was at a time when there were a lot of protests that were against the Israeli government by Israeli citizens. There were huge demonstrations around the house of the president of Israel at that time. And we were staying not far from the president's house. And one day we were driving back to the apartment. We rented a car because we like to drive all around Israel, see everything we possibly can. Don't really like tours, and I don't really like tour buses. The one time I was on one in Israel, I slept. I just didn't enjoy it. But put me in a car, I'll be happy. So we're driving back to the apartment, and I see police cars in different places on the street. And I'm thinking, and I think maybe even remarked to Sandy, it's probably because of what's going on with the, you know, the protests and the demonstrations at the president's house. And so I drive, I make a left turn coming down this hill and go towards the apartment, and a police car is sitting there on the street. They roll the window down and put their hands out in this characteristic Israeli fashion that means la'at la'at, which means slow down, but it really means, in this case, stop. And so I slow down and I pull up to the police car, I roll my window down, and the policeman who's in the driver's seat starts, I'll call it yelling at me in Hebrew. And my biblical Hebrew is much better than my police Hebrew. And so I didn't understand everything he was saying, but I understood I'd done something wrong. But just to make things easier on myself, I smiled and I said, English? Well, the policeman sitting next to him in the front seat spoke a little bit of English, and he said something like this, "Do you know why we stopped you?" I think police always say that. And in this case, I said, "No." And he said, you just ran through a stop sign." And I smiled again. I said, "I didn't even see it. I didn't see it because I was looking at you guys." Well, he smiled, said a few things, and was good-natured about it, and then he looked at me really seriously. And he said in his best Israeli English, "You must be more absorbent." I looked at Sandy, she looked at me, and I said, "Yes, sir, I will be more absorbent. Please excuse me." He smiled, they rolled up their window, we rolled up our windows, we started moving, we just burst out laughing. And I think absorbent and observant are really close. They may not be the same thing, but you know, they work together. And since that happened to me, Sandy and I will be in situations where we'll just look at each other and say, "We need to be more absorbent." When the word of the Lord comes to you for chazon, be absorbent. Absorb it. Take it in. Receive it. And when you receive it, then become observant of the word that God gives you. Do it. So you take it in, you absorb, and then you do, you observe. Let's go to Luke chapter 8, and we'll continue to look at this. You see, Yeshua is saying, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." Luke 8, verse 19. This is actually earlier. Now, Yeshua's mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. How many of you have in your English translation the word but again? Yeah, but, you know, like he's being dismissive. It doesn't have to be translated that way. Many times in the scriptures, that same word is just translated and. And he answered. And he said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Yeshua is giving us a sharp word because he wants to make a point. He uses sharp language sometimes to make a point that we wouldn't get. When we really want to belong to him and to count ourselves as his family, we need to listen to his word and do his word. Now, you can read the scripture several different ways. Some people read it as a dismissive of his family. It doesn't have to be read that way. It can be an explanation that his family is made up of such people and that he is proud that it's not just his biological family that he's attached to, but he's attached to everyone who receives the word and does it. Now, some people get nervous when they hear talk about the necessity of combining faith and faithfulness. But I believe that this is one of the foundational teachings of Yeshua and all the scriptures. Some people get nervous because they know they have just a little faith. And they think, oh, if I have only a little faith, I'll be in trouble. But Yeshua said, if you have a mustard seed's worth of faith, it will be powerful in your life. Because faith is so powerful, the existence of any faith has an impact on us in the same way that love does. Other people are nervous because they know they don't perfectly do what God's word says to do, and they realize that they fall short. And they think, oh, well then, what hope is there for me? And I want to tell you this. When you realize that you fall short, that's when you understand why you need atonement and how important it was for Yeshua to become the perfect atoning sacrifice for our sins. Take heart in this. His atoning sacrifice covers your sin. You don't have to say, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? What you can say is, oh, when I find myself failing to do what God desires for me to do, I need forgiveness and atonement. And it's readily available. It's a no deductible program. Some people have been taught that faith is separate from action and that faith is really just a verbal proclamation. If you say, I believe in Yeshua, I believe in Jesus, that's all that matters. And if that's what you've been taught, then Yeshua's words will be very provocative to you. And you may be tempted to minimize them or try to make them say something different. Recently, I was in dialogue on the internet with someone who was troubled because I wrote something about the greatest commands that Yeshua mentioned. And this person said, all commandments are equal, all 613, and then they went on to say, and none of them matters if you love the Lord. And he was then dismissive of commandments, and I said, well, that's not what Yeshua taught. I decided I wasn't going to argue my position. I would argue Yeshua's position. So I said, Yeshua actually taught something different. He said, there is a greatest commandment, and there's another one that's like it. And so he said, well, what's that? Give me some verses. My first thought was cynical. I have to say that. And I was short of time, but I thought I needed to respond, but I didn't want to take up a lot of time, and I didn't want to engage with somebody who wasn't really sincere, who was just trying to make their point and rather to learn something. And so I copied and pasted two scriptures where Yeshua says exactly this, that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And there's a second like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And all of the Torah and the prophets hang upon these. And so he reads that and he says, commandments don't really matter if you love the Lord. And I decided, I'm running out of time. So I just said, what you say is different than what Yeshua said. And I would encourage you to read Yeshua's teachings on this matter and learn from him. End of conversation. Now, I've learned something. Yeshua is the greatest commentator on the Jewish scriptures. He's the greatest interpreter of Jewish scriptures. He is the greatest example of how to live in faithfulness to the Jewish scriptures. And for that reason, I take him as the ultimate authority on the Jewish scriptures. How's that? So when I have an opinion about what something means and he has a statement about what it means, guess who I want to win in the argument? Yeshua. I don't want to win. I want him to win. I want his word to be victorious in my life. I want his understanding to shape me. There are things that I think are okay that he thinks are wrong. I want to agree with him. There are things I'm neutral about that he hates. I want to be informed by that. I want to be changed by that. There are things that he loves that I'm apathetic about. I don't want to be like that. I want to be changed into his image. And so when I read that he's passionate and in love about certain things, I want to have the same attitude. I want his position to guide my position. I don't want to read the scriptures and just try to find my opinion that I've already formed and then a way to justify that opinion. I want to find his opinion, his position, let it change my point of view. And so I encourage you in this. You can do the same thing. Read the words of Yeshua and learn from him. So if you already have an opinion that's different from Yeshua's teachings, when you read Yeshua's clear words, you will try to change the meaning of those words. I saw that once. I was with some old friends in Ukraine, and I had been touched deeply by Yeshua's teaching that about the second greatest command. You shall love your neighbor. Is that what it says? As yourself. That's what got me. Because everywhere I was hearing people say that the command is you shall love your neighbor. That's not the command. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I was with a group of people who were telling other believers that you should hate yourself and love your neighbor. Really, hate your life. Be dead to your life. That's not correct. Dead to sin. Alive to God. That's a whole different perspective. So to love your neighbor as yourself, you know what this requires? You have to love yourself. Ooh. That's not easy for everybody. For the ones who it's easy for, it's dangerous. Right? People who think they're perfect and can do no wrong, those are the ones, you know, you want to kick them. But for most of us, we struggle. How do we deal with ourselves? We're aware of our dark side. We're aware of our failures. And how do we love ourselves? And then we think, oh, how do I love another person? And sometimes we try to fake it by telling other people that God loves them while we know in our own minds and in our own heart that God doesn't love us. You cannot be effective in convincing someone that God loves them if you believe that God doesn't love you. So how do you love yourself? Well, this is what I came to understand. We have to love ourselves the way God loves us and the things about us that he loves. That's what we love. So maybe you're tall and you wish you were shorter. Love yourself with your height. Maybe you're short and you wish you were taller. Love yourself the way God made you. Maybe you wish you were born into another family. No, love yourself who was born into your family. God is intentional about how he creates us. He knows us even when we're being formed in our mother's womb. He has plans for us even before we've been fully created and been born. He intentionally chooses us and has good for us. That's the one who you want to love. You love yourself the way God is loving you. Now, so what do you do with all the stuff that's unlovable? That you don't love so much. You hate certain parts of you. What should you hate? The parts of you that are neutral towards God and his position. The parts of you that are against God and his position. The other day, Michelle and I were at the gym. Funny story. And he makes some comment about my calves. Now, my calves are the only part of me that genetically, you know, are strong and muscular all by themselves. And so I was like, yeah, I got good calves. And then in a moment of truth, I turned to the trainer and I said, I wish my abs were like my calves. And he looked at me and he said, eat differently. You know, that is not what I wanted to hear. Tough love, that's right. He just tells the truth. You know what I had found? I wanted to be able to treat my midsection like I treat my legs, but they work differently. Fat gathers around my midsection in a way it doesn't around my legs. And so here's the terrible truth. In my mind, I was thinking, well, the way I eat's okay for my calves. How many of you have ever made that kind of mental leap where something is working okay and you use it to justify what you're doing? Terrible. We each face things that we wish were different about us, and we have to have discernment about the right attitude. Some things about us we just need to accept and be even glad in. Thank you, Lord. I told someone this week, I'm glad I have my mother's hair, because my father's hair got really thin and his mother went bald. Nothing against bald people, but on women, it's not as attractive. It's okay. In any case, I can only get in more trouble if I say anything else. I don't know. Excuse me, but my poor wife, she's thinking, there's no way out of that. I'm taking a drink of water. But my father was more trim than my mother. So I wished I'd gotten that sign. I didn't. And there's nothing I can do about it other than accept it and live with it and then change some of my attitudes, right? Not to hate myself. Though once, my best friend, when I was a young teenager, he was thin as a rail, and he could eat twice as much food as me and never gain any fat. And I was, Dale, yeah, I was so jealous. Because here was my jealousy when I boiled it down years later. I wanted to be a glutton who was thin. And once I saw it that way, it's like, well, I don't really want to be a glutton. Well, I do, but I don't. And so I understood that some things have to be managed differently. I can't be neutral or I can't be accepting of everything. I want to be accepting of everything that God intentionally gave me so that I can live with it. And I want to be pleased with every good thing he gave me, so that I can honor the gifts that he gives. And then I want to be brutal and realistic about the bad things that I've embraced and the bad qualities that I need to work through and work on. And if I do that, I can love myself. And then I can love other people in the same way. I learned something about that by just taking seriously Yeshua's words. The second great command is to love your neighbor as yourself. And if we dismiss that, you know what? We're dismissing what he calls the second greatest commandment. And upon two commandments, all of the scriptures hang. And so we will be dangling and out of balance and in a difficult situation if we do not embrace both of the commands. So I have found it's better to take Yeshua's words at face value and learn from him, even if it means changing my position. Let's continue in Luke. We're going to go backwards a little bit more to chapter 6, verse 46. Yeshua says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say?" This is one of the clearest single sentences that describes how important it is to join faith and faithfulness. Faith in God that's not accompanied by changed life because of our love and devotion to God is not genuine faith. Verse 47, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he's like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built." The one who hears the word of the Lord and does it is a wise person. Now, in contrast, the one who hears the word of the Lord and doesn't do it, this is one who breaks the connection between faith and faithfulness. The one who hears the word but doesn't do it is compared to a fool who builds their house on sand. Now, here in Jacksonville, what would that be compared to? We built our houses on sand. Let's compare it to this. Someone who went to the beach at low tide and decided to build their house on the sand during low tide. And then during high tide, it's gone. That would be foolishness. Matthew 7, verse 24 echoes this. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." That makes it really clear what Yeshua's position is. And these are words recorded by two different apostles, Luke and Matthew, who are describing the same thing. They are in full agreement about what Yeshua's teaching is. Now let's turn to James. We'll look at a few verses there, and then we'll turn to Moses, where we'll conclude. James chapter 1, verse 22. James, what was his actual Hebrew name? Yaakov. They did not call him Jim. He was not the apostle Jimmy or James. Yaakov. He says, "Don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves." Isn't that a simple and clear description? If you only listen and give mental assent to something, but you don't put it into practice, you fool yourself. And then to James 2, verse 14. "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone?" That's really interesting, because James is saying there are a lot of things that people call faith, but they're not all the same. Faith that's just a doctrinal agreement that doesn't shape your life and change what you do, this isn't real faith. It's not that faith doesn't have sound doctrine, it does. Sound doctrine is connected to living for God. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say?" But we believe the right things. That's what Yeshua is saying. You say you believe the right things. That's not the test. If I'm Lord, I can tell you what to do. You see, the Lord is asserting his commanding authority. He has the authority to command us, to tell us what to think, what to do. He doesn't force us. How does he command us? When we enter into covenant with him, we say, we accept your authority. We accept your goodness and all that comes with it. And we accept that you have the right to tell us things. Even when we don't like what you say, we will learn to like what you say. Amen. Commanding authority. True faith saves. Why? Because true faith is trust in God. And we say, I trust him. And because I trust him, I know I want to live for him. I trust him with my life, and so I want to live a life that pleases him. Faith and faithfulness joined together. Now, with these teachings in mind, you can better understand this week's Torah portion, Deuteronomy 26, verse 16. Today, Adonai your God commands you to obey these laws and rulings. Therefore, you are to observe and obey them with all your heart and all your being. You are agreeing today that Adonai is your God and that you will follow his ways. That goes right back to what Yeshua said. You call me Lord, Lord, do what I say. Moses is saying, you call him Lord, you're agreeing, do what he says. Observe his laws, mitzvot, and rulings, and do what he says. Isn't it interesting how Moses and Yeshua use the same language? Do what he says. Verse 18, in turn, Adonai is agreeing today that you are his own unique treasure, as he promised you, that you are to observe all his mitzvot, and that he will raise you high above all the nations he's made in praise, reputation, and glory, and that, as he said, you will be a holy people for Adonai your God. So the promises of God to Israel are based on living lives of faith and faithfulness. The blessings that God promises to Israel are connected to that. Separate yourself from obedience and faithfulness, and you separate yourself from the blessed life. Join your faith with faithfulness to God, and you enter into the life of blessing. Now, it's important to be assured of this. God wants to bless you, and that's why he wants to take the mystery out of blessing. When you listen to him and you do what he says, you position yourself for the blessed life. Now let's conclude in Deuteronomy 27, verse 11. Because it paints a picture for us there. That day Moses charged the people saying, when you've crossed over the Jordan, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these shall stand on Mount Ebal for the curse, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites will declare to all the men of Israel in a loud voice, and it goes on. Now here's the picture. Israel stands in a valley. On one mount is blessing, on the other mount is the curse. It's meant to convey a picture to us that we're in a spiritual ecosystem, if you will. There is an environment that we are a part of, where we are in an environment where there's a battle between good and evil. There's a battle between life and death. There's a battle between blessing and curse. And if we're neutral, we just have both on each side competing. But what's the word? Choose life. Choose the blessing. Choose faith. Choose faithfulness. Take your position. Otherwise, you become the unwitting victim of spiritual forces. Choose well. And take heart about this. Yeshua is our champion. He's shown God's victory on your behalf. He has a victory over evil. He's triumphed. His mercy and his truth have triumphed over evil. He has a victory over death. Not only did he rise from the dead, but he's conquered death and will raise all of the faithful. and it is a victory over the curse. And he promises to bring you into a blessing. This is why he keeps saying, do what I say. Do what I say. Because that is the key to entering into the blessing that he has opened up for you. We close with Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32, which summarizes it and makes it so simple and clear. Now then, my children, listen to me. This is the Lord speaking. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Say that with me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Learn the ways of the Lord, choose the ways of the Lord, and walk in his paths, and blessing is assured to you because of the victory that God has won on your behalf through Messiah Yeshua. Don't be neutral. Don't be apathetic. Don't be double-minded. There is one way of blessing. It's the way of faith and faithfulness joined together. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you take the mystery out of blessing, because you want us to be connected with your blessing. You want your full measure of blessing to come upon us, to pursue us, to overtake us. And you want to protect us from the devourer. You want to protect us from the one who would lead us away from you. You want to protect us even from our own evil desires and the weaknesses of our flesh. I thank you, Lord, that your position about us is absolute 100% in favor of us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for providing a means for us to come to you. We bless you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? You don't have to be alone at this moment. If you are, move. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Amen.